AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt and Brett here today. Just a reminder, we've got a pair of Seavers Fall Festival tickets to give away sometime this hour. Keep listening for your chance to call in and win with that. But starting off, our international and our intelligence agency expert is Jack Rice. He's kind enough to join us today to talk about what the heck is going on in Saudi Arabia and with the Trump administration. Jack, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time, my friend.
No, it's great to be with you again.
It's good to have you with us. You've been traveling all over the place, man.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work lately. I mean, in the States, but outside, too. I mean, it's the nature of the world sometimes. You get real busy, and you just chase it. I think everybody understands that.
I'm going to guess it was about 4 or 5 years ago, you were on my show, and you had talked about, watch out when drones get to be, you know, you can start delivering heavier payloads, and they can go further distances. You actually said this was right after the beginning of the year, a few years ago. And here we have a case where Yemeni extremists have claimed credit for bombing the oil refineries and oil fields in Saudi Arabia with drones. First of all, let's get your thoughts, because when that happened, immediately the Yemeni rebels took credit for the bombing, which somehow got changed by Pompeo very quickly to this actually was Iran, not Yemen.
Yeah, this is really disconcerting when you look at what we have here. I mean, it's such a complicated question, and you get so deep into this, people have to remember that the war that's taking place between the Saudis and in Yemen right now, and the Houthi rebels who are supported by the Iranians. And so there's a lot of weaponry that swings back and forth. But specifically, the Saudis, UAE, and others have been fighting and killing a lot of people in Yemen. So that issue has been taking place. Yemeni rebels have taken responsibility for this. At the very same time, Saudi and U.S. investigators now say with a very high degree of probability they can show the trajectory of the bombings actually coming out of southern Iran. And so using that issue creates an entirely different dynamic in terms of responsibility and in terms of what the response could potentially be.
When the oil tankers were attacked in the Persian Gulf, initially the U.S. was coming out and saying, oh, these were Iranian attacks. And the people on the boats were the ones saying, no, this is not as you described it. And so there was some immediate question. I have seen one report that says that it might not have been drones. It might have been an actual missile. What are we seeing that can say, obviously a drone can come in from any angle. So have you seen any of the proof that says this came from the Saudi Arabian area? Or excuse me, from the Iranian area?
No, we haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
We haven't seen it yet. And that's actually what's interesting, because when we first heard about this, the argument that it was drones. And now what we're hearing is, oh, it might have been cruise missiles. And so flying at low altitude, according to what we have, saying this trajectory from certain parts of the region. The problem is it's very difficult to determine exactly what's going on. And the idea of something called a false flag operation, somebody else simply doing this, is certainly very real. I mean, there's a lot of things to think about this. If you realize there's about 100 billion barrels of oil are produced every day that are actually pumped up out of the ground. And if you look at the Saudis, give or take, they produce about 10 of those. And of those 10, what they're saying is this attack actually cut their production in half. Now, at the same time, you look at what else is going on and all the oil that comes out of the Strait of Hormuz, and that's about 20% of the oil in the world. So if we're talking about, you're looking at Saudi, you're looking at Iraq, you're looking at Iran, you're looking at Qatar, you're looking at UAE. All of them are coming out of the region. And at the same time, and this is what makes it weird, is what the Saudis are talking about doing right now is having an initial public offering of their oil company, Aramco. And the real question is, does that play a role in this attack, and who benefits most as a result of it? And so you ask a lot of questions, but the real issue is, are the Iranians the obvious, the logical attacker in a case like this? They could be, but it's very possibly that it could be somebody else.
So there is the possibility this could be a corporate war, or at least a war being conducted by a country who doesn't like the potential financial aspects of this oil company going public.
Well, you've got to realize Aramco and Saudi Arabia are almost synonymous. They control about 90% of all of the oil production in Saudi Arabia, and they really are the same. And I think you also have to realize one of the things about Aramco, about this organization, is they can pump oil cheaper than any other company on the planet. They also have the ability to increase the amount of oil that they produce to over 12 billion barrels a day. That's more than anybody else, including the United States. And so a lot of these issues are sitting out there. But part of the problem that we have is you have the complexity that comes from the Trump administration pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, which has created massive confusion and a lot of anger on behalf of the Iranians, which has the potential of creating something on top of that. So the problem is there are so many issues that are going on at the same time, and what you get from the president has been, and I believe the tweet was, we're locked and loaded, which is about the last thing that I think we need to hear right now by almost anybody when you realize what's on the line.
Yeah, he definitely has brought his gasoline. One other quick point about, before we talk about the attack itself, Saudi Arabia's got a lot of money. They've been buying a lot of arms. Considering the sensitive nature of these refineries, if indeed half their production has been taken offline, how was this not better protected? Because I'm actually at a little bit of a loss at how someone could so easily derail half of their oil, you know, production.
Well, it's a wonderful question because I was actually thinking the same thing. Now, if you talked to Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, what their argument was all of their defenses were focused to the south towards Yemen, and that they were defending themselves against that issue. But the problem with that is that doesn't make any sense, because a lot of those things are going to be in the north anyway. They're going to be facing east. They're going to be facing to the north and east, basically out of concern for what comes out of Iran. Because they have talked about this again and again and again in terms of who the ultimate aggressor is, even in the Yemen issue, which is the Iranians. And so to simply say, oh, we didn't have anything there because we were focusing to the south, simply doesn't make any sense. And I think anybody who's really looked at this issue for a longer period of time would realize that that just isn't logical.
Yeah, something's weird there. Jack Rice joining us right now. Last night, not only did you have the, you know, lock and loaded comment from Sunday night, but yesterday a lot of people's jaws hit the ground when Trump suggested both that he was waiting to hear, you know, his orders from the Saudi Crown Prince on if we were going to attack Iran, as well as also sort of implying that the U.S. military is available for a price to be purchased for use, which is both of those. I am stunned that immediately the Congress didn't get in there and say, nope, neither one of those things. We don't make decisions on what the Saudis want us to do. We make decisions on what we don't do, and you sure as hell are not going to sell off our military to the highest bidder.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation, and it's actually getting worse, because if we look sort of historically now and look at the problems that we face, and this goes before Trump, so let's be clear about that. One of the problems that the U.S. has in the region is they have little to no credibility. And you can go back to the Obama administration where President Obama talked about this red line in Syria. And what would happen was you would see ISIS, you would see others step right up to that line and then step over, and then Obama would pull back. And the problem is the Saudis were really upset about these. Qatar was upset, United Arab Emirates, very upset, saying the Americans just don't have credibility on the issue. But on the other side of this, look at what's going on with Iran right now, where the Iranians had a nuclear agreement with not just the Americans, but with the Europeans, with the Russians, with the Chinese. The entire world came together and said, we're going to have an agreement when it comes to nuclear questions. And this is important, the Iranians abided by the agreement.
Yes.
The IAEA had looked at this issue and was in Iran, very clearly watching the issue of nuclear proliferation and development of a nuclear material. And in fact, the Iranians did not do that. The problem with that is when President Trump unilaterally pulled out of the agreement, what it really did was not just drive the Iranians to start moving forward, but what it really does is, how do you convince the Iranians to ever come to the table again when you get a promise from the United States and then the United States simply walks away from their own promises, knowing full well that in the future there is no way for the Iranians to actually step at the table with them. In fact, the Grand Ayatollah just today said, absolutely, we will not sit down with the Americans unilaterally because we don't trust them.
They can only trust you for 4 years.
Well, and see, that's the problem here, is what we've seen prior to this president, and sort of push him aside for a second. You can look at the left in this country, you can look at the right in this country, both Democrats and Republicans, and what we have seen, relatively speaking, and I'm not suggesting I like it, but what we have seen is a relatively consistent foreign policy. Now, what we generally like is we love totalitarian dictators. We do. And we have supported them across the globe for decades. But we've been consistent in terms of what we do. And as a result, what we have seen is our allies, for what they are generally watching, but they accept that from administration to administration, they have certain expectations. The problem that you have with this administration is they're willing to flip everything on its head, which means that there's really no trust or even an opportunity to sit down and say, we will do X, Y, and Z because we know what that means. Nobody actually knows what the United States will or won't do, which may be fine if you're trying to negotiate a deal in Vegas or Atlantic City, but it does not work on the geopolitical stage.
It doesn't. I mean, he's threatening to renegotiate the international postal agreement, which, yeah, it is, I don't know where he's going with that. One last thing on this situation before I ask you two other quick questions. In regards to this, Russia, Russia is an interesting oddball here because they have been working with Iran. They've got a relationship with that country, which is, I can't quite tell where it's at right now. As you mentioned, the nuclear agreement dissolved, but it almost seemed like that was a benefit for Iran, that they've been actually able to get themselves closer to that regime.
Oh, there's no question about it. And actually, if you look at who has benefited, and dare I say this, from the current administration in the United States, who has benefited most, it'd be the Russians. If you look at where the Russians are, you have seen the Turks. Specifically, they're buying weaponry from the Russians now. So you think about this. This is a NATO country who actually has American arms, Western arms, and Russian arms at the same time, which is almost unheard of. You've seen cooperation between two different groups. So I've seen this when I was in Kosovo or Afghanistan or Iraq. It's always wild to see AKs and M4s in the same room side by side, which I find weird. But at the same time, the Russians have benefited by pulling the Turks away from the Americans as the Americans go into isolationism. They've also become closer and closer with the Iranians. They've also continued to support, to some degree, the Syrian regime, the Assad regime. And in fact, what they're doing right now is Putin, in the last 36 hours, has already talked about making more arms available to the Saudis. So they're actually willing to start selling to the Saudis, and they're competing with the Americans to see who can sell more.
Well, thank God it's just getting messier. There's a place on the planet that could get messier. It's there. I want to point really quick to Israel, the elections here, because of course what happened is Netanyahu failed to get a majority, a coalition in Israeli government, forced them to go back to the polls. In a surprising turn of events, I'm reading this off Raw Story, exit polls in Israel show Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu losing the election. The Prime Minister voting bloc failed to reach 61 seats in the majority of the Knesset. The second largest party there, I believe, or the third largest party, has already said that they're going to side against Netanyahu. So this, it looks like we might actually have a leadership change in Israel. Your thoughts on this election? Because obviously there's been this corruption charge hanging over his head forever. It just finally looks like it might have caught up with him.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, that was part of the problem. Originally, they had the ability, at least Bibi Netanyahu thought that he was going to get a ruling majority. Unfortunately, he simply wasn't able to do that. And because of that, Benny Gantz actually did better than people expected. There were thoughts that he might actually win anyway, and that the Blue and White Party may not be able to do this. This is a retired general, very respected in the country as well. And I think this is important to consider, is that people have talked about Netanyahu like Netanyahu represents all of Israel. It represents every philosophical view in the country, and that simply is not the case. And in fact, he has been incapable of getting the majority in the country. So it'll be interesting to see if Benny Gantz is able to get that majority and then actually lead the government. If that's possible, you may see a shift in terms of what that means. But it also does something else. It says something about this sort of philosophical view that we have seen from Donald Trump, to some degree you've seen from Bibi Netanyahu, to some degree what you have seen from Boris Johnson in Britain, what you saw in France, what you saw in Germany. This drive to the right, I think, we may have seen the end of the swing of that pendulum, and this may be a hint of things to come, which I think is really interesting to see on a worldwide basis.
You brought up Johnson. I got to do this. That Luxembourg president just pantsed him huge because he keeps thinking he's going to negotiate this, brings in the Hulk reference, and then goes to meet with the European Union. The European Union says the deal's on the table, the timeline is set, and we're done talking. And I have no idea what Johnson thought he had as collateral that he could bring to the table, but he even refused to show up for the post-press conference to talk about it because, it's just a mess for him. He has nowhere to go.
Oh, he doesn't. And I think that's part of the problem. If you look at what he was doing before, he was great at sound bites. But generally speaking, he wasn't really doing the work that was necessary. And this is coming from people even within his own party, although you saw a massive shift in this fight when he decided he was going to dissolve Parliament and then essentially drive Brexit through without an agreement. And the real fear of what this does, it's not just economic. You got to remember, you also have the problem that's going on with Ireland, because Northern Ireland and then Ireland itself, you're also looking at what's going on with Scotland, because you're seeing that Northern Ireland has very real concerns about security from the rest of Ireland and the troubles that caused for decades. You even see in Scotland itself, it's becoming even more popular that they separate themselves from Great Britain, mm-hmm. and they become truly and utterly independent, which, by the way, this has been going on for some time now, but you're seeing a drive because what Scotland wants to do is remain part of Europe, even if Britain, or I should say England, goes off on its own. You have a Boris Johnson who apparently seems to be incapable of understanding the ramifications of all of these things other than the great soundbite that it creates.
Well, and the wild part about Scotland is they're using, of all the things, the fact that they feel if Johnson lied to the Queen about the dissolving of the Parliament, that they're using his lie to the Queen to basically challenge this. And it is setting it up for Scotland to be its own country here within 5 years or so.
Now, one thing that I find fascinating is to watch the minutes where the Prime Minister has to speak in Parliament. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, and for Americans, if they ever have an opportunity, they should watch it too. If not, you can watch it on YouTube, you can watch it online. And the beauty of it is what happens is that every leader has to stand up and take the hits that are coming at them, and stand up for the principles and their policies themselves. And if they can't, what happens is it becomes very, very clear that they can't. And what we're seeing in the United States is you never have that anymore. You don't get that sort of confrontation, mm-hmm. and you have every president on all sides. They sort of wrap their own people around them, and they never have to actually stand up and start fighting and arguing for what they believe and why. And in this case, Boris Johnson has had horrible problems, even not just from opponents, not just from Labour, not just from the Social Democrats, but actually from conservatives themselves, which really says a lot more about where he is and what he's trying to do.
I think both of us should go out Halloween as that parliamentary Black Rod character. I think that's the costume hit of the year. That's what I'm going to be shooting for this Halloween.
Well, I want to see a picture of that.
I will. I'll see what I can figure out. We're all smarter. Everyone, you're just listening to Jack Rice, you're all smarter after 15 minutes. Jack Rice, absolutely fantastic. JackRice.net, if I remember correctly. JackRice.net for all your Jack Rice needs. Jack, thank you very much. It's been a privilege chatting with you, my friend.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jack Rice making us all smarter. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Spotlight that interview for sure. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Eat fresh and support local farmers by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. It's peak time at the farmers market. Lots of sweet corn, eggplants, fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meat and farmstead goods. Keep the summer bounty all year long because it's a great time to pickle and can. Look for the cucumbers, incredible deal, canning tomatoes. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations, Tuesdays at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
Buy appliances below cost at Warner Stellion's Real Deal Clearance Sale this Saturday through Monday. Hundreds of yellow-tagged appliances below cost, plus unmatched savings on new special buys, including laundry pairs, dishwashers, refrigerators, and more. This Saturday through Monday at all 10 Warner Stellion stores.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Yeah, it's looking like Netanyahu might be out of power here in Israel, which is going to be interesting. Having a far more moderate leader in Israel, will all the Republicans demand we pledge allegiance to Israel after that? It'll be interesting. Oh, God, and that Boris Johnson stuff, dear Lord. He basically said that there were protesters at the event, so he wasn't going to show up. He didn't show up because he doesn't have any – he's at the point – it's very similar to what Jeff Stein said when the Republicans took over in early 2017. He just said, well, now you have no excuse. You can't point to the other side. You can't say Obama. You can't say Hillary. It's all you. And they couldn't get any damn thing done because everything they were proposing was so outrageous that very rarely would they get most of their own people on board with it. And yeah, it's the same exact thing. I mean, Boris Johnson is a guy who talks and they believe their press, and then all of a sudden they're there. Boris Johnson is there, and I'll just roll up my sleeves, turn into the Hulk, and go in there and tell them. And they basically look and say, well, we have all the cards. You have nothing you can negotiate with. Here's the deal that we have hammered out. It's the only deal we have. If you don't want that, it's a hard Brexit. That's on you. And the timeline, we're not shifting it. And so all of a sudden, Boris Johnson's like... And the reality is Boris Johnson and all these Republicans, Republicans, conservatives in Britain, all the conservatives in Britain already know the truth. If this thing goes to a hard Brexit, it's going to be a disaster for them. Because they have promised all these good things, and you're going to have rationing, you're going to have shortages, you're going to have problems with money, you're going to have problems getting into other countries. It's, education is, everything's going to suffer in England. And it's going to suffer for a long time. And they already know it. And so either they're going to have to just, my gut feeling is Boris Johnson's going to have a come to, Jeebus moment. And sort of sit there and say, I think what I'm going to do is I'll just go with this agreement they've hammered out, and we'll go with that. And it's like, I honestly do. I think that's what the end going to be. I didn't get a chance to get to the Corey Lewandowski testimony in the House. But can I just sort of say this to the Democrats out there, and particularly Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Nadler, and the rest of the leadership there, that I is begrudgingly doing this because a shocking amount of their party wants impeachment proceedings to be started. So they begrudgingly are looking at impeachment. If I may, don't do this half-ass. Because right now, you clowns are doing this half-ass. You're not doing this correctly. The minute Lindowski, who was subpoenaed to show up and testify, started basically saying, I'm not going to answer, is the minute that Nadler should have said, I am ordering the sergeant of arms to take Corey Lindowski into custody, and we will be held until he is ready to testify. You know, what did you do today?
Well, gee willikers, golly gosh. He's not talking.
Really? Really? You didn't think you thought he was going to talk? He himself was bragging about this being the launch point of a Senate run in New Hampshire. So he clearly wasn't going to come in the door with any kind of integrity at all. You have the opportunity. If you're going to do this, then do it. And if people that you have subpoenaed to come talk to you in the House are refusing to talk, then lock their asses up. Because this is what you have to do. And yeah, I know that Trump will order his attorney general to release him. Well, then you set off a constitutional crisis. And as much as I know that Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and probably Thomas and Alito will all side with Trump, I have a hard time believing John Roberts is going to look at the Constitution. One of the truths is I actually have a hard time believing, you know, some of the other guys, the other conservatives, are going to look at a cut-and-dry situation with, that is laid out in the Constitution and say, oh, nope, you can't do that again anymore. Because we just like Trump. Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to do that. Don't do this half-ass. If you're going to call people in to testify and they're refusing to testify, well, then arrest them. If you're not, then basically, let me just guess, every other person you call to testify is going to say, I don't recall, 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 I don't recall. And maybe that's the end game, what you're looking for, is to say, well, we called all these people, but they weren't willing to talk. You're doing it half-ass, and you're not fooling anyone, Nancy. You're not fooling anyone, Steny. You're not. You're just not. So do this right, or just don't do it at all, but don't be surprised when a good chunk of the Democratic Party abandons you, and then don't be surprised when history isn't too kind for the guys that had the most corrupt president in the history of this country and did nothing to hold him accountable. How about some happy thoughts? You know what's a happy thought? Seaver's Fall Festival, that's a happy thought. Everyone likes Seaver's Fall Festival. You can go to Corn Maze. You got the Corn Pit. Lots of great fun. Stop on out and enjoy it. I'll tell you what. I'll make it easy for you. Pair of tickets right now. Caller number 5. Caller number 5, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Caller number 5. You'll win a pair of tickets to the Seaver's Fall Festival. Good luck. We're back after this. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
What if we lived in a world where trauma was seen as an accepted, inevitable experience and not a pathological anomaly? What if healing and reversing trauma was the key to obtaining the joy and fulfillment that every human deserves? On Monday, October 7th, join the University of Minnesota for a lecture and discussion on The Transformation, Discovering Wholeness and Healing After Trauma by Dr. James S. Gordon. As a world-recognized authority on post-traumatic stress, Dr. Gordon will be presenting the first comprehensive, evidence-based program for reversing the psychological and biological damage caused by trauma. In The Transformation, Dr. Gordon delivers an inviting narrative that allows readers to easily use his step-by-step evidence-based program to reverse the psychological and biological damage that trauma causes and to restore their hope and heal themselves. The cost for the lecture is $10 and includes a copy of The Transformation, Discovering Wholeness and Healing After Trauma. There will be a book signing and reception after the lecture. Space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I just get so dang tired of this, you know, of this kind of wishy-washiness that we've get in regards to the Democrats. And for God's sakes, if you don't, and what it is it's a case where they're doing it in regards to, like I said, I think they're trying to appease the large portion of their party that wants to have impeachment hearings, but they don't have any real intent on giving those impeachment hearings the go that they need. And so they're trying to, well, they went and they said no. Ronald from Golden Valley. Ronald from Golden Valley, congratulations. You have won yourself a pair of tickets to the Seaver Fall Festival. Ronald in Golden Valley, congratulations. We will have a pair of tickets throughout the entire week here. So listen for your chance to win tomorrow, on Thursday, and on Friday as well right here. And thanks once again to the Seaver's Fall Festival. Brand new location down in Shakopee. They're open now on the weekends as they're heading in towards October. So get out there and enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Hazel's Northeast is indeed the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Fantastic food over there, and they've got a great falafel burger for lunch. I really encourage you to give that one a shot. It is very tasty. So stop on by 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. It is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. How about illness news? Illness news here in Minnesota. First of all, General Mills recalled 600,000 pounds of gold medal flour over E. coli concerns. The recall affects just one date code on 5-pound bags of gold medal unbleached all-purpose flour. I don't think I get the 5-pound bags. I think I get the smaller one. General Mills is urging consumers with a 5-pound bag labeled with a better if used by date of September 6, 2020, to check their cupboards and throw away the product if covered by this recall. So be careful there. They do say this. I was reading a little bit more about this E. coli strain that's in the flour. If it's cooked correctly, it will burn off in the stove. The heat will kill it. But obviously, if you're using, you know, kneading the dough or something of that nature, well, that can, you know, leave a little bit of residual fun out there. So just, you know, keep that in mind. Also, in illness news, E. coli outbreak associated with, say it isn't so, the Minnesota State Fair. The Minnesota Department of Health said investigators recently identified 11 cases among Minnesotans who visited the state fair prior to becoming ill. Those people reported visiting between August 25th and September 2nd became ill. Well, that narrows it down. That's the entire time the fair is open. It could happen to anyone. It was
only several hundred thousand people.
Wasn't it a million?
Was it well over that?
Yeah, it was well over a million. August 25th or 20th, if you went to the fair, yeah. They became ill between the 29th and September 6th. Those affected range in age from 2 to 43. Six of those infected were hospitalized, and one developed hemolytic uremic syndrome, a potentially fatal complication. One person remains hospitalized. All of my best there. Health officials are working to determine the source of the outbreak, but evidence suggests contact with livestock is the most likely factor. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, most of those affected reportedly visiting the Miracle of Birth exhibit, having contact with calves, goats, sheep, and piglets, and then apparently palming a pronto pup. Yeah, you won't want to scrub up after that. However, some cases didn't have direct contact with animals, may have been exposed through contact with contaminated surfaces like fences, rails. So we're basically going to steam clean the malt.
Every time I have those sweet Martha's cookies, I always clean my hand on a fence post.
Hey, Billy, you get something on your face. Go rub it over on that. You see that fencing over there? Yeah, there we are. All cleaned up. Strong reminder, always wash your hands after being around livestock. Really? Do we actually have to mention this? Well, apparently so. Hey, you know those animals that smell like poop? Funny story. You should wash your hands after. Dear God, you go into the piglet barn and it's a plank to the face. And I get it. Farm producer, hog producer, smells like money to you. I get it. No problem. It still is a pretty ripe smell. It's not a mystery what we're inhaling at this point, is it?
You think we have any crossover illnesses between people who got sick from E. coli and the state fair and those who got sick on Big Island on July 4th?
Oh, on Big Poop Island?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't think about that. Could a pig from the state fair have been on a Big Poop Island?
Well, I didn't go that route. It's just someone who's not thinking. Got cut up on both. They went to Big Island. They thought, you know what?
So all we have to do
is touch the livestock and then have a pronto pup.
Judging from the standard individual who's over at Big Island, we're looking for frat dude. Dude, man, all right, man, sweet Martha's cookies and animals to pet, all right, rock 'em. Then we'll go out on the boat, man, and we'll go out and hang out on Big Island, man. It's going to party. And if you have to go to the bathroom, just go right in the water right next to you. That's all you have to do. There's no consequences at all. Why do I feel sick? I don't know. I don't know, Big Island guy, Big Poop Island. Good luck with all that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I want to bring up once again, last week I mentioned with a Quinona shooting that was happened in Richfield that you take these cases as they come. And this is by no means – because I had the pro-police people kind of come after me a little bit and they made the argument that you don't think they should ever shoot. No. We brought up last week as well the case out of St. Louis County where the individual pulled a gun and was firing at an officer. And not only did the officer return fire and shoot the suspect, but his partner hit him with a squad car. And they ended up killing the guy, but he had pulled a gun and he was firing rounds at people. That wasn't Quinones. Quinones had run some red lights, was not obeying police action, and he had a knife in his hand, but considering no police officers were hurt, it doesn't sound like he was near enough or was in a, threatening to harm someone else manner, which then brings back once again, okay, you don't have a taser. You don't have a stun gun. You don't shoot for his legs. If you listen to the audio of the shooting of Quinones in Richfield by Edina and Richfield police, you hear 10 shots being fired. 10 shots for a guy who had a knife at a gunfight. And that seems odd. Well, there's another case that came on up here. And once again, I understand why the police do this sometimes. A police officer shot and killed a man who rammed his police SUV Sunday night in the Midway neighborhood. A man got out of his vehicle and initiated a physical confrontation. Well, first of all, let's stop this. He tried to hit him. He clearly hit him with his own vehicle. He's trying to kill the guy right then. And you can say to me, well, Matt, a knife could. Well, don't give me the could. What was he doing? The guy in St. Louis County shot at police officers. This guy rammed a police car. Okay, I mean, the intent is there at that point. A guy gets out of the car, he's got a knife in his hand. Well, shoot him just in case? This actually validates my point even more. Man got out of the vehicle, initiated a physical confrontation. Police statement said, during the ensuing fight, the officer shot the man who died on the scene. A car with a heavily damaged front end sat directly behind the SUV at the scene. And earlier, a voice was heard over emergency dispatch audio saying, drop the knife, drop the knife, fire, shot, shots fired. The same that voice since then, one has been shot. So what happens here, the guy rams the car, gets out of the car with a knife. And by the way, how dumb, a police vehicle is a pretty heavy-duty vehicle. they're reinforced. And if you see the vehicle that hit the police car, it's, you know, you didn't do, I mean, your car got the worst of that damage. But it gets out. So his intent is already clear. He's already rammed the car. He's trying to physically hurt the police officer. And he probably already did physically hurt the police officer. The shooting comes as the police grapple with Police Chief Todd Axtell last week called a stretch of unprecedented violence in the city of St. Paul. Into the evening scene, a handful of activists walked on the police tape following live feeds, encouraging people to demand to see the body camera footage. The body camera was activated. Police spokesman Mike Ernster said the officer was wearing a body camera, which was activated. He confirmed later the officer said drop the knife, but did not say if the man had had one. The officer was placed on administrative leave. He got rammed by a car. I mean, the intent to hurt and to kill the officer was there. This is – you can step back from this. And you can look and say, okay, officer, I get it. The guy rams you with a car. His intent is well known. 10 police officers surround a guy. He gets out of his car. He's got a knife in his hand. Shoot his leg. But he could be one of those demon villains, Matt, where you shoot him and he mysteriously gets back up. I've seen that those movies where it's a helter-skelter and stuff like that where you can shoot them and they keep coming back. Stop it. Stop it. If you shoot someone in the leg, you're going to do so much damage to their leg, they are not going to be getting up. And you're going to, as a matter of fact, you know, at that point, you can go over there, you know, wrestle the, you know, one person gets the knife out of his leg and then try to save this guy's life. But the blang, bang, 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 bang. You know, come on, guys. I just think when we get to the point when the officers on a scene are already targeting the head and center mass on a case where they clearly have the upper hand, they clearly have ways to de-escalate the situation that don't involve firing their weapons, and yet they for some reason we end up with a dead person. I think that we can all agree that there's something going on there. Also, this one, in because we talked about this quite a bit, the federal judge has dismissed a Minneapolis woman's lawsuit alleging Hennepin County healthcare medical staff forcibly sedated her with ketamine in her apartment and enrolled her the drug safety with and enrolled her into a drug study without consent. Brittany Buckley sued the hospital and paramedics last November, alleging they violated her civil rights, used excessive force, and committed medical malpractice in 2017 incident. This is back, if you remember, this is when the police officers were telling the medical professionals to give them the ketamine, give them the ketamine. That would give them, sedate them, which is sounds just, okay, how Orwellian are we going to get here? After suffering breathing problems after the ketamine injection, Buckley woke up the next day with a tube down her throat and little memory of the incident. In court, Hennepin County Attorney's Office, which represented the hospital, argued Buckley and her lawyer didn't adequately show the case law how her rights were violated. They did. Okay. I don't know who I'm more upset with in this case. The Hennepin County attorney for arguing such a, yeah, we just injected her with a drug against her will and sedated her. How is that violating her human civil rights? To the judge saying, hey, yeah, drug the person. I guarantee you, if either the attorney in that case or the judge was ever out in the street and for some reason an officer came up and said, give him ketamine, sedate him, I don't think they would feel if their civil rights were not violated at that point. I have a feeling this is a cover-up if there ever was one, because dear God, how is this not violating their civil rights? At the time of the injections, Buckley was depressed, drinking alcohol, which comprised her competency to make decisions herself, said the attorney wrote in the motion. So, okay, hey, she's had a few drinks, so, you know, drug her up. You know, nice date rape policy you guys have got in regards to arrests here. Dear Lord. Judge Joan Erickson ruled in favor of the hospital last week, dismissing all six of Buckley's allegations. In an interview Monday, Buckley said she was surprised and disappointed that Erickson's decision. She plans to appeal in federal court and refile the lawsuit in state court. Buckley said she hopes the ongoing legal battle raises public awareness of how the hospital treats vulnerable patients, and it should. No, you shouldn't. Your first line of action, just because you don't want to have to deal with someone, should not be forced medication. That is a violation of their civil rights, for God's sakes. That's just the fact that we are actually having a debate about this and that the Hennepin County attorney is like, nope, drug them, drug their asses. Drug everyone. Well, why don't you just start doing that? Why don't you just release something in the air over Minneapolis, send everyone to sleep at night, and then you have no crime whatsoever? How about that? I mean, if this is really for the public good, hey, you just had those cases of those gangs of people robbing people down on Hennepin and First and Second. Fine. If this is the way we're going to do it, then I'm guessing the Hennepin County attorney is suggesting that just at 10 o'clock at night, we released a gas over the city of Minneapolis. Everyone goes to sleep and no crime happens. No one's civil rights were violated. Because I highly doubt that they would go along with that. So I have no idea why all of a sudden on a one-for-one basis, just starting to drug people randomly just because it's inconvenient to deal with them is somehow appropriate and not a violation of their civil rights. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, Seaver here, inviting you to our beautiful new location. Bring the family and join the fun at Minnesota's largest corn maze and fall festival. We're open every weekend now through November 3rd. Get tickets and info online at seaversfallfestival.com.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. Currently, they have almost 300 certified used vehicles in stock, and many of them qualify for financing as low as 1.9%. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, offer the 7-year 100,000-mile warranty, and their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. See for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week, I talk about how it took 48 years for an Alabama community to recognize the ultimate sacrifice that a civil rights protester made to effect change. The big interview is with Richard Johnson of Auto Technical, which donates cars to people in need. You won't want to miss his answer to my question of why he's an idealist. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging in real on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.co. OP.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Still no final word on the Israeli elections. Obviously, it will be interesting to see. I can tell you right now, Benjamin Netanyahu and his party, there's a lot of things that have been going on behind the scenes that they have not allowed people to see.
Are they expecting to know by tonight, our time, who wins?
Well, no, it's, what time was it, like
4? They got to be 6 hours ahead of us, maybe?
No, 6 is Western Europe, so they are 6, 7,
oh,
8,
yeah, it's got to be
9.
Way more, right.
So it's 10 o'clock, 10 hours there, so they're well into the past midnight now.
Yeah.
So I would say that they're, we should be finding out here pretty soon. Who the winner is of this. They should be pretty close to that. So I did want to mention I mentioned this with Jack. Thousands of absentee ballots could be uncounted in upcoming elections thanks to President Trump's objection to a treaty which governs the international mail exchange for nearly 200 countries. Citing disapproval of shipping rates, it says it's unfavoring China. The White House is weighing the potential withdrawing next month from the Universal Postal Union, a United Nations agency which allows for global postal service. Now, I want to explain something to everyone out there. There was a country that tried something similar to this. Not really the same exact way, but it had astronomically bad consequences. It was Ireland. And I don't know if you remember, I was on the air, was I here or was it in a past radio life, when they did this. They sold the Irish Post to a private company. It was a disaster. It was a disaster. Years after the government basically ordered this company to give the Irish Post back to the Irish government. And they did. They basically said to them, you guys are so incompetent at this. You need to give it back. They found shipping containers full of packages that had just been – they didn't want to deal with them. Their employees said, eh, we'll deal with this. And so you had Christmas gifts and stuff like that. Some of the stuff really smelly by that point that had been sitting in containers for years that they just – it was an absolute mess. And I have sent stuff to Ireland. The godparents of my kids, one of them is Dermot Flanagan, who we talk every year on St. Patrick's Day, as well as also other friends over there. Most times I get those packages. They get them. There's no problem. Might take a little bit of time here or there. It depends on either it's going through the UK or if it's going through Ireland. But it gets there pretty quickly. But during that time, half the packages I sent overseas and half the packages they sent to me never made it. Either way, it was that bad. They still, though, followed the Universal Postal Union code that had been put out there. So this is a decision, and quite literally, I think that the news article on this that points out that this is about absentee ballots, I think that's 100% what this is. This is the Trump administration trying to stop foreign ballots from being able to get here effectively and be counted in time for the next election. So he's trying to get us out of this to annihilate that, to stop the mail from being able to circulate. But all mail will be affected by this. All Christmas gifts, if you got someone who lives overseas, lives in Canada, lives in Mexico, everywhere, this will be affected by this because it's just, and so this is a insanely stupid idea. I mean, this is catastrophically dumb to think about this. Without U.S. membership in the Universal Postal Union, overseas voters could face high shipping rates for mailing their ballots, as well as mass confusion, which could lead to thousands of votes uncounted in 2019-2020. Military overseas citizens already face enormous hurdles casting their votes. Matthew Wheel, director of the Bipartisan Policy Center's Election Project, told the Washington Post, these citizens may be forced to pay up to $70 to return their ballots via private shipping companies, and it's not clear all states will accept ballots delivered this way. The White House's latest gamble is a completely Trumpian move. Originally formed in 1874 to support the international mail exchange, the UPU will gather for a summit this month in Geneva where the 192 member states will discuss changing shipping rates. The U.S. plans to withdraw from the union if new rates cannot be negotiated. He's the worst president we've ever had. He is – this is – he is the worst – president we've ever had. It's not even debatable anymore. I mean, just in the last 24 hours, he says he needs to get approval from Saudi Arabia that the military is for sale, and now he said that's my Hispanic guy over there down in New Mexico, and now he's trying to get rid of the postal code. Wow. All right, repertoire up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.